Good evening, everyone, and we welcome you once again to Discussing the Truth broadcast. We're broadcasting live here in Birmingham, Alabama, this the 30th day of March in the year of our Lord, 2017. I'm your announcer, Antonio Green. Our host for this broadcast is Pastor James A. Dansby. Our co-host is Minister Kevin Pierce. We have Minister Milton Dudley on the panel as well. And our prayer is that God the Father, through the power of His Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of His Son, Jesus Christ, through the moving of the Holy Spirit, will speak truth into your hearts. Pastor Dansby.
Amen. Thank you, Tony. God bless
Amen.
You.
Amen.
God is good. Amen. Mm-hmm. Praise God. We thank God for another opportunity to discuss His truth. Amen.
His truth. Amen.
Praise God. There's nothing like the Word of God, nothing like the truth of God. And I thank God that we have experienced that truth in our lives, and that truth motivates us each and every day to be the best we can in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. And we just thank God for this opportunity. Before we get started, though, we must pray. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to ask Minister Milton Dudley to ask God's blessing upon the broadcast today.
Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you right now for your word, and we thank you for discussing your truth.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit instilling that truth in our hearts. And Father, we come praying and asking that those that are listening, Lord, receive it by the word of God.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Father, we thank you for discipling your word.
Yes, Lord.
And realizing that we want those people out there that are listening
mm-hmm.
to line it up with the word of God.
Yes, Lord.
Pray and ask God to give you the wisdom and knowledge to discern what is right and
yes,
what is
Lord.
Wrong. In His word mm-hmm. and in His theological. In Jesus' name we pray.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. God bless you, brothers. Like I said, it's a good opportunity again to discuss this here. Great subject, Black Liberation Theology. We started mm-hmm. a few weeks back, and praise God, we're getting right into the thick of it, into the meat of it.
Mm.
And we just thank God that He has enlightened us.
Amen.
So that we might not walk headlong into this minefield of destruction. We
yeah.
believe that, though the subject, the title is Black Liberation Theology, I feel that it has not liberated us at all. I think it has taken us further into bondage.
Amen.
Amen.
And a bit
Amen.
More, even a more dangerous bondage than slavery itself.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And, but we've been, listening to some clips, from Dr. James Cone, and he is said to be the author of the Black Liberation Theology. Which, really, you know, we could debate that, and we can go back to Nat Turner, as we said, and probably a few other, courageous, people that, thought that, the way for black people to really be free was to take up arms and to demand that, there be, equality as far as materialistic things are, you know, in the world. We can go back, probably further than Dr. James Cone. But, we've been listening to his clips, and, mm-hmm. he is an esteemed minister in the AME Church, I believe
mm-hmm.
it is. Is that right, brothers?
Mm-hmm.
He is also a professor of theology at Union
College, yeah.
Seminary, I believe mm-hmm. it is, in New York, somewhere in New York. And but he's been called the author of Black Liberation Theology. And we have been listening to his clips, and we are comparing what he believes that is of God and what the Bible says concerning this subject to be of God. And there's a conflict here, brothers. There's no doubt about
that.
But the Bible says, let God be true and every man be a liar.
Yeah.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And we just stick to that. But I think it's important that we kind of go back and maybe listen to his definition again of what this Black Liberation Theology is all about. And we're going to listen to that clip one more time, okay? Let's tune it in here. Amen.
First, we'll hear from Dr. James Cone himself. He's an ordained minister in the African Methodist Episcopal Church. He's a distinguished professor of systematic theology at Union Theological Seminary in Manhattan. His books include A Black Theology of Liberation, For My People, Black Theology and the Black Church, and Risks of Faith, The Emergence of a Black Theology of Liberation, 1968 to 1998. Welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you.
Since Black Liberation Theology is is new to so many people, and it's been in the news. The preserve is primary creator. Let's talk about its history. But let's start with how you would define it now.
Well, I would define Black Liberation theology as mainly a theology that sees God primarily as concerned with the poor and the weak in society. And since this theology comes out of the Black community, we call it Black Liberation theology. But it's not just for Black people in a narrow sense of that term. It is for Black people in the sense that it focuses on the concerns of Blacks who are living and who are voiceless in this society. That makes it Black Liberation theology. But it is concerned about the gospel for everybody. And if everybody is for the gospel in this society, then they are for the poor and the weak. And if you are for the poor and the weak, you are also concerned about the liberation of Black people too. So Black theology is an understanding of the gospel which sees justice for the poor as the very heart of what the Christian gospel is about, and the very heart of what God is doing in this world. God is taking sides with those who are voiceless and weak, and he is empowering them to know that they were not made for slavery, not made for exploitation, but was made for freedom like everybody else in the world.
Praise God, gentlemen. We have heard that this is his definition and his perception of who God is and what God's main concern is, and what he's expressing through the Word of God, and that's his concern for the poor, be they Black, be they white. But I think he primarily means Black people. It appears that way, but he did say whether you're Black or whether you're white. God, the mission of Christ was to come and to focus upon the plight of the poor and the downtrodden, those who have been neglected in society, and right this wrong. Gentlemen, we kind of differ with that. Is that right?
Absolutely, Pastor. I got to differ with that. By him being able to dogmatically say who God is and what he's concerned with, kind of do away with the scripture that my thoughts are not your thoughts.
Okay.
My ways your ways.
Okay.
So how can he dogmatically say what God is about?
Amen. Brother Pierce, what'd you say? Just briefly on this definition again.
I believe that it's more of a spiritual thing than a physical thing.
Okay.
And he's already divided the Word of God by excluding people who have.
Right.
Who has.
Okay, the rich. Those who have been blessed with abundance of material goods, whom the Bible describes as wealth that has come from God.
Right.
So if you accumulate wealth, it doesn't matter whether it's through hook or crook. Mm-hmm. You know, God has allowed it to happen. God has allowed it to happen. Remember what you say about just briefly on this definition again before we get a
good. You know, just listening at him, you know, he said God is taking sides. You know,
okay.
My Bible tell me God is no respecter person.
Okay, right.
You know, and he'll bless and curse who he please.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he blessed Job.
Okay,
you know, Job was a just and righteous man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and who God done bless, you can't curse.
Right. That's right.
So,
and there were pagan kings and even ones that were responsible somewhat of taking God's people into bondage, they were very prosperous also.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is his definition, his perception of who God is, what the mission of the church should be today. And as we listen to clip three, you're going to find out that he's kind of bitter because the church has seemingly not stepped up to the plate, been very silent concerning this matter. And he's not too happy about that. Amen.
Amen.
But we believe the church's mission is on target as far as winning souls is concerned, and everything else has to be in a secondary role.
Absolutely.
Amen. We want to take a listen then, brother, at clip number three. Let's see what Dr. James Cohn has further to say about Black Liberation theology.
Using this next. Any group that has institutional power, they are violent. Therefore, the mainline denominations in this country have been violent against Black people. The crucifixion of Jesus was a first century lynching. America has a tradition of lynching. in which America lynched more than 5,000 black people in this land. The Christian Church said very little about it. It was very violent lynching. So if we understand the cause correctly, we will see it as Jesus being a victim of lynching, a victim of violence. So at the heart of the Christian faith is God taking upon thyself the suffering of the victim. When you see a lynched black body, that's who God is.
Okay, gentlemen, we heard this clip number three, and Dr. Cone, he further expresses his definition of black liberation theology.
Wow.
And he said a lot of things there in that third clip that I think we must comment on. And, you know, first of all, he was talking about mainline denomination being silent, so about the plight of the black people in this world and how we seem to have been very quiet concerning this matter. My feelings are that is that I think most of us really realize that our mission is souls, number one.
Amen.
Amen.
And
amen.
I think basically that's why maybe the black churches or mainline denominations have not put emphasis upon the physical, situation that we're, not just blacks, but the poor period in this world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Our mission is souls. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his own soul? So their souls are more important than the physical, situation that we face today. But he does seem like he's a little bitter. Brother Pierce, what do you think?
I think he's better also just by using the word victim.
Okay. Okay.
You know, when you use the word victim, you have to realize that someone has committed a crime.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
And if Jesus is part of a crime, who committed that crime against him?
Okay. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Okay.
And he said a lot of things right there that if not blasphemous, that,
no boy,
it's very close,
very
to
close
it.
To
and when he compared the crucifixion with a lynching, now during any of those lynchings, I doubt if we can search far and long and we'll find no one who volunteered to get that rope around their neck. You know, Christ said no one takes his life.
That's right.
He gives his life. He laid his life down for his people.
Amen.
So, therefore, you can't, and like I said, at the least, it's taking the Lord's name in vain to even compare.
Yes.
The cross work, the crucifixion,
mm-hmm.
to the lynching of a sinful mortal man.
Right.
Amen.
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 Amen. What do you say that?
You know, I listened at Mr. Kevin, you know, when he was talking about Cromley. You know, I was doing some, you know, research on him too this evening.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And he grew up in Arkansas.
Yes.
And he went through some of the same situations
down
a lot
south
of black
people.
Yeah,
the water fountains and you know, the whole nine yards.
Mm-hmm. He's probably my age or something like that.
And I feel like he hadn't turned loose, he hadn't let go. He hadn't
forgave. Not at all.
And that's just why, you know, he has created and started this black liberation theology.
Amen.
You know, because his heart hadn't been changed.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But as Tony said, you know, just the fact that he mentioned that the crucifixion of Jesus is a first century lynching. You know, that seems to indicate to him that Jesus was helpless, hopeless, and
he could not possibly defend himself.
Absolutely.
And, brother, we don't believe that not one bit. As Tony said, Scripture, Jesus said, out of his own mouth, no man taketh my life.
Mm-hmm.
I give it up freely.
Yeah.
And he gave his life on the cross in order that we might be saved and we might be partakers of God's eternal plan and be a permanent part of God's family that he is composing right now. Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead, Kimmy.
Minister Milton brought that up last time in
that
verse at Galatians 2:20. We're talking about Christ being considered a victim.
Okay.
And he's talking about the crucifixion, comparing it to a lynching.
Okay.
But
right.
It says here in Galatians 2:20, it says, I am crucified with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, I live.
Yes.
Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Who loved me
and what?
And gave himself for me.
For me.
That doesn't sound like a victim.
That's right. Mm-mm. That's right.
It says here that God gave himself for me. That's a voluntary act.
Amen.
And he absolutely took that and perverted it to a form. Now, what that truly tells me, and the more that we discuss this man and some of the things he has said, you get the ultimate understanding that you got to come to the conclusion that he does not understand the cross.
Amen.
He doesn't understand the cross at all. And just like what you were reading, brother, in John, in the book of John, the apostle said in John 15 and 13, he said, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down.
Okay,
his life.
So they didn't take it. They didn't take it.
Not at all. So it's the scriptures are clear that Jesus wasn't a victim.
Right.
In the cross flag.
But the way he's preaching it, we will always remain victims if we don't go any further past the crucifixion.
Okay.
Because it's the raising of Jesus Christ's body, the resurrection, that give us the victory.
That's right.
Absolutely.
In the resurrection.
Absolutely.
So see, that's the difference here. I guess he can kind of lay claim that we're victims and we'll remain victims if Jesus didn't conquer death, if he didn't resurrect, but we don't hear him ever
talking about the resurrection.
We don't ever hear him talking about the resurrection because the resurrection is a symbol of
victory.
Absolutely.
And as far as he's concerned, we don't yet have the victory.
That's
amen.
Right.
And you
can't even identify unless you can identify with what he calls the lynching.
Yes.
Don't you know there's a lot of people in the world that are not sympathetic or know nothing about the plight of the black man in the United States.
Many are in that category.
So salvation cannot be linked to a specific people group and what they went through, you know, and that's what he's basing any type of liberation theology. Now you can pick your word and put on the beginning of the black liberation, Hispanic liberation.
But
any of it is just dealing with a certain people group and their plight and what they went through being liberated here in this world.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to drive home that point that we're talking about now about the victory of Christ's resurrection. If we never get to that, if his theology never reaches that, then they'll always be victims and they will always be lost.
Yes.
So let's look at that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians 15.
1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 14 says, now if Christ be preached, that he rose from the dead.
Yes.
How say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?
Okay.
But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then there is Christ not risen.
Oh boy.
And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching
in vain.
In vain. Mm.
Your faith also is in vain. So what he's doing now, this black liberation theology is all in vain if they remain victims.
If
they remain victims and never are victors through the resurrection of Christ, we see why the victim mentality is just so rampant in our community today.
So Christ died in vain, and he really didn't accomplish anything as far as Dr. Cone is concerned. There was nothing accomplished at all.
Mm-hmm.
And brother, how can you be a professor in theology, study of God, and how you missed all that though?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
How did you miss all that?
That's because you're a volunteer.
There you go.
He quoted in his own words in the last broadcast that he volunteered to create type of theology. He took a little mix of Malcolm X. He took a little mix of Martin Luther King and cooked up his own thing.
Okay.
He's a perfect example of a volunteer.
So he's like the gentleman that created the Kwanzaa thing. Your own imagination, is that right?
Amen.
Just pull something out of the hat that you said it would appeal, and it does appeal.
Right,
and
the only victims that are victimized is we, the black people.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Those are the true victims of this theology.
When you constantly portray a people, black, white, or whatever, but in our case, black people as being victims, brother, that does irreparable damage. To the psyche, to our, and eventually to our way of life, because it takes, I think that's healthy. We began to see ourselves as victims.
As victims.
And not able to compete in the market. We're not able educationally to compete. Therefore, we need affirmative action to give us a position, because we're just not able. We just can't compete.
Pastor, the sense with that being said, and then compounded with the sense of entitlement
that it gives
someone owes
you.
You owe me.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You know, that compounded with what you just mentioned, it puts us behind the eight ball. Me and Minister Dudley was talking before we went on air.
Yes.
And we're actually listening to some of this boomfoolery this man talking. But we were listening to some of this and just talking about how much damage it has done to the black church. You know, we had, and he was a good man, and the social issues that Dr. King fought for was well needed. But that, his walk, his ministry, if you want to call it that, during the civil rights era, did the same thing. It draw the ministers from behind the pulpit to deal with these
away from the gospel.
The thing that the cross was really about.
Dying
for our sin. Not for our equality or our liberation, you know. And they twist scripture just enough to make it sound like it fits.
But
that's dangerous.
It is dangerous.
I just wanted to drive this home one more time about the victim
one
thing.
More time.
And the reason why is because this is really the crux of what's killing us and this theology here that Christ is a victim.
He
was lynched like some black man in downtown Birmingham.
Right.
And he's equating that to that instead of really understanding the finished work that happened.
That's right.
So if we're supposed to be examples of Christ, what type of example of that is to be a victim instead of a victor.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But this is the attitude of Christ right here.
What is it? What it says?
Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you,
which
was also in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation,
and took
upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men.
Yeah.
Amen.
And being found in fashion as a man, he did what? He humbled himself and became obedient all the way unto death.
Even
the death of the cross. So does that sound like a victim?
No, he was obedient.
He was humble and he took upon himself voluntarily.
He thought it was
not robbery to do that.
Amen.
That's what done crippled so many of our people.
Okay.
What's that? Like you said, that victim mentality.
And
Jesus said himself, you know, the battle is not yours, it's mine.
Amen.
You know, the battle's already won.
Right.
I'm not a victim, I got victory, you know, in Christ.
Right.
And so many of our people are ignorant of that. And that's why Cone has misled so many of our people.
Because
of that mentality. Okay. They got something that's supposed to be yours. You need to get what's yours.
Right.
You need to stand up and fight and get what's yours.
Right.
And so many of our people, Jesus told the lame man, take up your bed and walk.
That's right.
The other man at the pool of Bethesda.
He
said, I ain't got no man to put me in when the water is moving.
Amen.
We waiting on somebody to do it.
That was real good.
Very good.
What does it say about God the Father, though? If Jesus Christ is a victim, what does that say about God the Father? God the Father is just as bad as the white man.
He's just
as bad as the white man who's oppressing us, making us victims.
Tony said this is a blasphemous statement.
It is.
You are ascribing the work of God to the devil. That's right. See, that was God's work, sending his son on a mission.
Absolutely.
And where he divested himself of all his Godhead, all his power. Mm-hmm.
He gave all that up.
He gave all that up in order to, in other words, he became just like the first Adam.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
He willed to do the will of
the
Father.
That's right.
And those miraculous things that he did do, he only not know because of the Father telling him
what
to do.
That's what he did.
He wasn't willy-nilly, you know, just kind of
bebopping around. Yeah.
Kept showing off, you know. Yeah. And even, you know, and here's a scripture that confused people. Even Jesus said, I don't even know the day nor the hour.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, he emptied himself of all the Godhead.
To know this here, you know.
And his omnipotence, his omniscience, his omnipresence. All that. He emptied himself and he became a man. Perfect man, but he had a will just like Adam had a will.
Amen. Right. Amen.
That's right.
But go ahead, bro.
Well, you know that the separation that this theology teaches, you know, because he says things like, unless you can identify with the lynching, you can't be Christian, you can't.
First Peter 2:24,
it read, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That we should, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we're healed. In all the scriptures I ran across in the Bible where it shows what the Lord did for us.
Okay.
It didn't specify
okay.
a people group.
Okay,
then specify a race, no demographics.
All souls of mine.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But he's telling, unless you're black, it's only two ways. Either you got to be black to identify with it, because you can identify with lynching of sinful man,
yes.
who probably in a lot of time were guilty and needed hanging. You know,
right.
not saying that it was ever good, but you cannot compare sinful man with the sinless.
No. He portrays the black man as being such an innocent person.
Right, and just a victim.
And the Bible says,
But you see why they say the black man is God. You can kind of see that. That makes sense.
Uh-huh.
Now.
If they're
equating a lynching of a black man to what Christ did,
right.
then they're saying that we're equal to God.
We identify with God.
Right, amen.
Yeah.
But Isaiah 53:10 says this.
What's that?
Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him.
Oh boy.
He put him to grief. And when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand.
Well,
so we have to understand that if Jesus is a victim, then what does that make God the Father?
That make God
the Father no better than the white man who's victimizing us supposedly today. But that's a lie. Isaiah said that God the Father was pleased in what he did.
Sure. Well, you know, and I know Dr. Cohn has been well read and you know, he's got his papers and everything, so that means that he went through a rigorous course to get where he's at.
Yeah.
But it appears to me that what Agrippa said to Paul seemed to apply to this gentleman. Much learning
made you mad.
But how did you miss Isaiah? The Father himself, it pleased the Father to bruise him.
That's right.
Not the white man, not the Ku Klux Klan, but it was God that allowed his son, and his son, because he volunteered to come out of his love for someone, you know, and to gather his people together. You know, but here's another thing that really, you know, get my wheels to turning a little bit. The mere fact that I don't forget my thought.
When he said one of the last statements he said in that clip we just listened to,
that,
when you see a lynched black body.
Mm-hmm. Yes. What he said.
That's who God is.
That's what he said.
That's what I was just looking at and meditating on, Tommy, when you said that. And my thing is, he's taking that like God can't do nothing.
Right.
That's right.
I mean, he weak. He can't defend himself.
That's what he said.
He can't do nothing.
But look how far God goes. He can't go beyond a dead body.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Look at God, a dead body.
A dead black body.
Black
that's
body.
What, that's what he said.
That black is. Body.
But I'm saying
so God defeated death.
Let me say this here. We know that There are two plans for this earth and for the people of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
God is about gathering his people together. Mm-hmm. And he said that that would cause division.
Amen.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
But mere fact that God saves some and don't save others, saves some in a family, don't save all, it brings division and confusion. Huh? Oh, devil ain't nothing but a copycat. These brothers are promoting division. You know that?
Absolutely.
The wrong kind.
Absolutely.
The wrong kind of division is what they're promoting, though. Amen.
Yes.
See, God, when we get saved, it brings about a certain amount of division.
Mm-hmm.
And,
amen.
And conflict.
That's right.
The
that's
mere
right.
fact that we believe what we believe now. And some people are listening right now and they say, these guys are crazy, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's what the gospel does. It brings
it's
out.
Doing what it's supposed to do, in other words.
But these gentlemen are, whether it's consciously or unconsciously, working for the enemy, who is a copycat, and they are trying to, this is a ploy to divide people.
Absolutely.
With this black liberation.
Absolutely.
Divide people. Black against white.
That's right.
White against black. Mm-hmm. This is what this is all about.
Well, prosperous against poor. It's division
all across the board.
You know, the Bible states, and in an instance we ran across in the Bible, it said that the Bible states that you can't even look upon God because of his glory.
Sure.
You know, everybody that did it, they fell down as if they were dead. They couldn't stand to look at him. But but all he is, if you seen a lynched black body,
then
you seen God.
That's
amen.
God. Wow, that's a statement.
You know, and thinking about what Minister Kevin said about how Dr. Crone, you know, got this thing together, you know, with a mixture of Malcolm
X and Malcolm X. Oh,
and The main focus that we as believers have to realize, this is not a physical battle.
That's right.
It's a spiritual battle.
Amen.
You know, in Ephesians, it tells us that.
We wrestle not.
We wrestle not with the flesh and blood.
Okay.
It's a spiritual battle.
Okay.
And, you know, look in James 6:38.
Read what it says.
It says, for I came down from heaven,
John,
not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. That sent me. See? Dr. Cone, he's trying to do his own thing.
That's right.
That's right. That's
he's just trying to do the will of the Father.
Amen. But a number of ministers, high profile ministers, they support this guy and defend him and Dr. Wright and the rest of these guys.
They defend him.
We'll probably play solo clip later on. Brother Pierre, what do you say?
To comment on what Pastor said about division. You know, there is division, and instead of having that big blue equal sign that the world has today, they need to have a division sign. Now. They really do.
Yeah.
Because amen. Christ did come to divide. And he talked about that. In 12:51,
Luke, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, Luke 12.
Mm-hmm. Suppose you that I am come to give peace on earth.
Okay,
I tell you nay, but rather division.
Division is what Christ said.
From henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three.
Right.
The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father.
Right.
The mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother. The mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law.
Right.
Now the difference is that in that. That is when Christ divides, it's divided in truth.
Okay.
But if you're divided in error, if you're on the Nation of Islam side and you on the nation, you're in the
Hebrew
black Hebrew liberation theology side, you still wrong.
That's right.
Because you're in error. You're divided in error.
So when I guess if he reads that same scripture, he'll see that it's talking about black liberation theology, though.
Right.
You know, not the spiritual division, but we know. For sure that if God, me and my brother may have slept in the same bed, you know, all our lives.
That's right.
If God happened to save me,
amen.
And I began to do what I'm supposed to do and try
it's
to
gonna separate
he probably
you.
Almost did. He gonna walk in the bed
absolutely.
With me.
Absolutely.
When I got saved, there was nothing I had to tell anybody about me. They chose not to be bothered with me anymore.
Amen. That's that healthy division that Christ came to institute. But what Dr. Korn and his group and his Black Liberation Theology. This is a physical, a revolutionary type of division, which it has no biblical, support whatsoever. How do people embrace it, gentlemen? Why and how How do they embrace this? And these are people that go to church that are embracing this.
Mm-hmm.
Church because it's they're interpreting scripture based on their situation.
Okay.
Based on what they're going through, you know. And then we have many doctrines that are dangerous. But when you gonna tell me how to have my best life now,
mm-hmm.
or how I can get what I got coming to me?
Okay. Yeah, okay.
You know, and if it's the lust of my flesh I'm trying to satisfy, then that sounds attractive.
Yes.
What you're selling sounds attractive.
Yeah, that's right.
Because what Tony's saying, so many of our people are caught up into the materialism.
Amen. Okay. Amen.
And somebody like Dr. Crone bring this liberation speech, what he's bringing,
sound good.
For them to get there.
Yeah, sound good.
He want them to get there so they can bring it in and give him more.
To him.
Amen.
Well, the devil would say to us, you know, through some people, well, you know, we can't be like Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, some will come back at us like that. You know, we know that Jesus was a perfect person, all that. But Jesus, the Bible says he was a second Adam.
Amen.
Okay. Huh?
Amen.
He was stripped of everything, all power, though he was still God. Mm-hmm. He was never not God.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
But he did not use it. Only, the miracles and all the things that he did do, that he did them exactly in accordance with what the Word of God, what the Father had already said that he was going to do.
Right,
right.
Well, that's a fact, Pastor. You know, and you hear that all the time, and people use it as an excuse.
Like
right, use that as an excuse. but why would the Word tell us then, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus?
Right,
So it's what we it's still, like Minister Pierce just said, there's only... We can have many errors.
Okay.
But there's only one truth.
Okay.
There's
Amen.
Only one truth.
One truth.
And it's not relativism, y'all. It's not relevant to our situation.
No,
what we've been through,
right,
to what we're going to go through.
No.
It's not relevant to any of that. The truth is the truth. And what Christ came to die for was the sins of the people.
Mm-hmm.
He came and hung on that cross for our sin, not to deliver the Jew from Rome.
Right.
Okay.
It didn't happen then.
And to show us that we as Christians, having Christ in us, we can overcome just as he overcame.
Amen.
He overcame as a perfect man, but we got the perfect man in us.
Amen.
We've been born
That's
again.
Right.
More than of God.
More than
so now it just all come down to what we will to do.
Amen.
Huh? Amen.
See, in James 1:13, it says that God cannot be tempted with evil.
Be tempted.
Okay.
Huh? Well, then they say, well, Jesus, he was tempted. Well, at that time, he wasn't God, though.
All right.
He was all man. he was all man. At that point, he was all
Amen.
Man.
Amen.
So he went through a series of temptations.
That's right.
That's right.
I don't know God. God can, but one divested of all the power in the Godhead, he can be. And he did that for us.
Amen.
If
Jesus was all man, then his mission would be void. It wouldn't be accepted.
Okay.
Because you cheating. You God.
You God.
That's right.
That's what they say. We can't compare. Y'all trying to come. We're not
good.
God. That's what Corn and these gentlemen would say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was God. But that, you know, we down here on this level.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Wow.
Praise God. We've been born again. We've been raised together.
Amen.
Huh? We've been given the power.
He said again. And so it's just a matter of what we're willing to do.
Yeah.
Amen.
Are we willing to walk in the victory?
Yeah.
Or are we going to give in to...
Be a victim.
They're
going to be a victim because they don't even get to the resurrection. They don't get it.
Yeah.
He just stayed dead.
Yeah, you hear nothing about the empty tomb. You hear nothing about that symbolism of victory over there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And it's sad because that keeps a lot of people where they are, even on a social level.
Right, but we can take this all the way back. Socialism preaches the same thing.
Okay.
Communism preaches the same thing.
The same thing.
A lot of our organizations that started in the 50s and 60s seem to say they're protecting black, but actually it was stirring up
chaos.
No kind of forgiveness and repentance. None of that in those, you owe us, owe us. And brother, it's my feeling that more damage has been done to our people.
Amen.
It has, Pastor. It has. Now, the globalists, think about this, Pastor. This is a tactic that's been used, it's used in warfare, it's used everywhere.
Okay.
Now, if the DEA coming to make, they finna bust a meth lab, the first thing they usually do is throw a big, loud percussion grenade and that'll make a bunch of noise.
Have confusion.
To disorient everybody, and then they come in and do their business. This is the chaos
that they're
stirring. The Black Lives Matter, the rioting in the streets, all this is the chaos that they're stirring up.
Right.
But up here behind the scenes,
it's
something going on that we really need to be aware of.
Right. So, okay, that's the big picture.
There you go.
That's right. We got to realize.
And we wonder why Cones have been so promoted on these big channels and in these big arenas, because he's had some famous people interview him. We saw him the other day.
Yeah. Right. And to set the stage for the Antichrist, who is going to come, and we know the Bible says his spirit is already working among him. And that's the confusion. Yeah. That's the confusion right there. The spirit of Antichrist. In order for him to set the pace for him, there must be division, brothers.
Amen.
Race against race and a class against class. Mm-hmm. All these things have to be. Mm-hmm. These brothers, whether consciously or unconsciously, they're working with the enemy of the cross, enemies of Christ, to bring in and usher in the age of Antichrist.
Amen.
With this kind of rhetoric, you know, that they are spewing out here. But like you say, it is working. Black Lives Matter.
See it everywhere.
Brother, that's confusion. Even the women's rights and so forth.
That's feminism.
This is division.
NAACP. And then you get all these groups out there, and then you got so many of them been indoctrinated with this doctrine.
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then when the opportunity comes, like one of our young brothers gets shot or killed.
Oh boy.
They come together. They ride.
Oh yeah.
And the majority of them is not out there for the right reason.
Oh yes. No.
They're out there just when the ride break loose.
Yes.
I'm gonna grab me a TV, man.
I need
a big screen.
Opportunities.
Yeah. Well, opportunities. That's what has been projected. The material advantages that you can get out of these confusion here. Yeah. You know. And little things like the young fellow that broke into the house here recently, I think, and this man, he shot this young fellow.
95, 95, whatever it is.
But, now they question whether or not he was in his rights, to even do this. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. We take up for the black brother was a victim.
He's a victim.
He broke my house.
Sit in my PlayStation.
Yeah.
And now I'm
because I'm defending myself.
Yeah.
Amen.
You should have went to your back room, no kid.
Just let him get the police and wait on him.
Aim for his foot.
You're right.
You know. But like I say, but he's now the old gentleman is being portrayed as being the bad boy.
He's
a bad man.
He's the bad man.
But this victim mentality is it's spreading like wildfire, brother. But my main concern is that this teaching has set us back.
Oh, yeah.
It has truly set us back.
Yeah.
Because we have a mentality, I cannot compete.
That's right.
And I think when you take the competitive spirit.
Yeah, man.
Away given us by God. God has given us that.
God has given us that. You know, and without that competitive spirit, I think that the productivity in society will go so far down, brother. I mean, and everybody is on the same level is what they're trying to do. Bring everybody in the same level.
Well, it has to. What's my motivation to work hard?
Okay.
And try and achieve.
Okay.
When I'm gonna get the same thing Milk got, even though he went to school 18 years and I dropped out in eighth grade.
Communism.
Marxism. Right.
Socialism.
I work hard for what I get, but now I have no motivation if I can get the same thing and don't have to do the work.
That's right.
And we can see why our people and so many people elect these officials like this that's going to give you everything.
A handout.
Okay. A handout.
Amen. Okay.
That's what they want. They want to put somebody in office.
Well, you brainwash them now.
That's right. They've been indoctrinated.
And people think, I mean, you'll be surprised the power of the media.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Indoctrinating people. This is where their mindset. Their mind have been completely turned to the what I can get for doing nothing. And that's sad, brother. That's really sad. But that's
Pastor, I've heard a young lady say once. Well, she wasn't a young lady. She was an older lady, and she about the second or third generation to live their whole entire life in the housing project.
Okay.
And I heard her tell her young daughter, her 14-year-old daughter,
what she say?
I'll be glad when you're old enough to have a baby or get your own project.
No.
or get your own. This is the lifestyle. This was her mentality.
Yes.
That when you get a certain age, that's what you get your own project, or you get your own government housing,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's how I get rid of you. That's how I get you out of here. And it was just that vicious cycle.
Yeah.
That this girl had a baby when she was 14. Her daughter had a child when she was 4. That same vicious cycle
over and over again.
Just turn, and it comes from this victim and this "you owe me something" mentality.
When you tell a lie long enough.
Mm-hmm.
And
loud
convincing
enough.
And loud enough, and eventually people will begin to believe
it becomes your reality.
Amen. Amen. And that seems to be exactly what has happened among our people.
Sad.
And like I say, these brethren are not helping us to go forward.
Not at
with
all.
This kind of
it
takes on a different direction. And again, you know, like I say, we are not being insensitive. I want to say that because we do realize that there's been a struggle. The blacks have been treated very poorly in this country. We realize that.
Mm-hmm.
But even if, they would give us reparations or give us everybody a house, a home in Homewood, Mountain Brook, Shoal Creeks, or whatever the case might be, would we be able to maintain it, brothers? I mean, our mentality, who going to pay you gas? Can you see a person living in Grace? And they down sound in the welfare line
I'm sorry. Except the Lord build a house. They that labor in vain. If the Lord didn't give it to you, then bless you with it.
Amen.
You ain't going
to
be able to keep
it. You
ain't
going
to hold on to it.
That's a sad thing, gentlemen. And,
yes.
And
yes.
We want the audience to know, too. And we've mentioned this man James Cone many times.
Yes.
But he's not the only one behind
this
movement.
No.
He's the father of it, but we have a lot of young charismatic ministers today that's pushing this same message.
Same
pushing the same theology in churches full of folk.
Why? It's lucrative.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Yeah. Okay. The dividends, the financial dividends
mm-hmm.
are great.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
You're saying what people want to hear. You're dancing or playing music to the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And quite naturally, you want to draw a great audience.
It sounds good.
And go ahead, brother.
You
brother
can't here. Be a victim
okay.
and accountable at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So
wow.
That's pretty heavy.
Yeah. Yeah.
If we're victims, then I don't have to be accountable because I'm a
somebody
victim.
Somebody else's fault.
Oh, yes.
somebody else's fault.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
that's what we're experiencing in our community.
Yes,
Even in spiritual things in church.
Yes.
God makes us accountable for what we've done before him.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But yet this man is saying that we're victims because Christ was a victim
mm-hmm.
and now somebody owes me something.
Yes.
But the Bible, I mean, in the simplest form, really preaches about accountability before a holy God.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
So how all of a sudden we're going to be a victim because of what God has done or because of what other group has done.
Right.
You
right.
can't be a victim accountable
no.
at the same time.
No, no, you okay. can't. That's a great point, Brother mm-hmm. Pierce. Great point.
Good.
But we like to say we're just, and before we close, you know, even if, say for instance, reparations, and they talk about that quite, America need to pay up.
That don't go away. Don't
America need to pay up for the injustices been perpetrated upon the black man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, wait a minute. Let them, suppose they decide to pay up. Let's come up with a round figure, $100 billion.
Right.
All right. Okay, who gonna be in charge of that money? What black leader is y'all gonna have to be in charge of that money?
Mm-hmm.
And after he gets assassinated, who gonna do it?
and then after he gets assassinated.
So it seemed to be a trail of misery
all the way around the world,
all the way across the world.
Amen.
Jesus is there, so
amen. Amen.
Let me say something right quick. We'll close out
there. You know, I was just thinking when you mentioned that, Pastor.
Yes.
You know, we as believers in Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, the Lord said count the cost.
Okay.
Now, if I call and name the name of Jesus.
Okay.
Then I got to be ready.
Okay.
He's going to have me ready, prepared.
Yes.
And he said he'll supply all of my needs.
Oh, praise God.
According to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
So I don't care what I go through,
mm-hmm.
what I do not have.
Right.
I have Jesus.
And you can't be paid no better
and
than
can't
that.
Can't be paid no better than
oh,
that.
Praise oh, praise God. Jesus. That's good, my brother.
That's that, brother, you said it all in a nutshell right there. When when the Lord convicted me of my sin.
Yes, yes.
It, now, that was enough. And then he forgave me of that.
Yes, Lord.
That's the key.
And granted word, me man. Eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
Everlasting life.
Praise God. Key.
That's don't cute. Y'all know the white man, the red man, the yellow man, the green man? Don't nobody owe me nothing. Not because they can't pay me like the Lord has already paid.
Can't nobody
me.
Pay you like he
amen. And so I'm satisfied with that. And to be liberated, I have been liberated. And,
yes.
And
yes.
I'm just so glad about it. But I've been amen. Saved from my sin.
Amen.
You know. Thank so you. We thank good. God don't owe me nothing.
Brother Pierce, one more word, then prayers out of here. Okay.
If we're talking about being a victim, the only thing we've been a victim of is the victim. Victimology of sin by Satan.
Okay.
Mm. And even then, God the Father holds us accountable for that sin in our victimization.
Yes.
So
yes.
What we need to do is repent to the victor, Jesus Christ,
forgive us, Lord. Amen.
For our sins. Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
amen.
Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this
Lord.
Broadcast.
Thank
dear
you, Lord.
The truth is marching on here, dear Lord.
Yes,
we
yes, Lord.
Those
yes, Lord.
To open their ears and eyes and mm-hmm. minds
please,
to this
Lord.
Truth, dear Lord.
Please, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Dear Lord, we just thank you for just.
Thank
Lord,
thank
to
you,
just
Father.
Allow your word to spread over these airwaves.
Yes, Lord.
And we pray in Jesus' name.
Jesus,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.